Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back for another episode of Journey Back to the Heart. And have here with me one of my dearest friends from Bali, Ubud, Fiona. She's a human design expert, coach, and an all-around awesome person. I can't wait to dive into the conversation with her. Yeah, we're here by the pool at her house. There might be some like noises here and there. It's life in Ubud. But yeah, so this episode we'll talk a lot about human design, Fiona's story, how human design can be used as a tool for empowerment in your own journey, and I'll provide some invitations, some ways in which you can approach it. It's such a complex system, so we'll try to like bring you kind of like the essential or like the introduction. So yeah, I think it'll be a fun ride. Well, let's get into it. So Fiona, do you want to introduce yourself, maybe say a couple of things about you, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, so where to start? I now go by Human Design Consultant. I got into Human Design about a year ago, I would say. And I was, okay, so previously before that, I was actually a data analyst. And I worked in that world. And during COVID, I decided I wanted to come into the health and wellness world. So I actually studied to become a health coach, and I did all that, and it was great. And then I had to, like, I guess, start a business. And I got a business coach to kind of like help me get off the ground because it was completely new to me. And she coached me based on my human design. So yeah, it's not like the traditional way, I don't think, that people use human design so much. But it's how I came into it, and it's how I use it, and it's life-changing in every sort of way. So we use human design, you know, in my marketing strategy, how to communicate with people, how to package my things, how to use my time, how to divide things up, and even my strategy, everything was based on my human design. And when that happened, everything started to flow when you're working in alignment with your design. I don't know now if I should just give a quick intro of what human design is, because I'm not sure all the listeners know.
We can make a quick intro of what it is
as I'm going through this.
Why not just
mid-story.
Yeah, especially for the people that maybe heard the word human design but have no idea what it is. It's like a kind of like a brief introduction.
So human design is a self-knowledge system, and it's based on ancient wisdoms, such as the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, the I Ching, astrology, and quantum physics. And it shows us that we are all designed to be successful. We are all here for a purpose. We are designed to achieve that purpose. Everyone here is designed to be successful. And like, that's like what I keep emphasizing to everyone.
I like a system that starts with that. You're meant to be successful. Let's see how.
And it doesn't matter what. Even if you're a bird watcher or a farmer or a painter or a lawyer, whatever, like, if you're working in alignment with your design and your purpose here, and you're delivering all the goods and, you know, to the universe, you're going to be successful. You're going to flourish, and you're going to feel good, and you're going to be healthy. And that's the thing as well. Yes, I started with human design for my business, but it improved my relationships, improved my health. It improves everything, because it's not about business. It's about how you're operating in life. And that's obviously transferable to everything. So once I started my health coaching business, I realized I need to learn this. I need to get trained in this, because then if I'm using this system with my health coaching clients, they're going to achieve their health goals not only quicker, but more sustainably. So I did that. I got qualified and got all into it. And then I came to Bali. I came to Bali in December. And when I got here, I think it just called me. It called me. Human design called me. I got here and I put a message on, I think, one of the WhatsApp groups saying, I wanted to like make my own human design reports. And I think I was just looking for someone to be able to help me automate it because I was spending a lot, like hours, creating reports for my clients. And it's not cost effective to be spending that time. But I also want to give my clients something like really nice and tangible and easy to read and digest. The reports you can get out there are not like that. And I really wanted to create that for my people. but it was taking a lot of time. So I just was looking for someone to be able to help me with those reports. And just since posting that message, I don't know, people asking me to do workshops, people asking me to come on their retreats and run things there, people asking me for readings. And then I just got, you know, so popular that the health coaching kind of fizzled out. And now it's all human design from here. So now I realized that I attract people that are looking, you know, for like, mainly business and career advice and confidence. Usually it's to do with confidence. Usually people know or have a desire and it's the confidence. How can I do that? And like all the, I guess, fears around that. So when we look into your human design, we can see, well, you literally have this talent inside of you and this is how to tap into it. And once you do that, you're going to become magnetic. Let's try. And it's all about implementation as well. That's the thing. So I think that's what makes human design really like transformative, is that you go away and you implement and you do and you act differently and you behave differently and you show up and you communicate differently and you prioritize different things. So that's really, really helped people step into their power so that they can also deliver their goods when they're running their businesses or whatever they're doing. To be able to do that from the highest version of them, and also for them to be aware of their shadow sides can help them. The awareness just helps them. Oh, I'm in the shadow side. Okay, what do I do now? I can get back into higher, you know?
I see. Wow, that's very interesting. I've dipped my toes here and there in human design. I also, in my own personal practice, I started with using human design as a bridge between astrology and the gene keys, because my main thing being astrology, and then I kind of like dive into the gene keys, but the way to link them for me was through human design. But then once I discovered human design, it's like I went into like the profile and the type and looking at my, and then I was like, okay, out of curiosity, let's just see what is there. But then, oh my god, it was so life-changing. Like I was feeling like I was pushing so much in my life, like knocking at the wrong doors, like forcing things. And then when I realized, like, oh, like I don't know, like when I work in alignment with my design, it's, I don't know, everything flows. It's like, yeah, even though sometimes the mind might feel like, oh, it's not this, but then I think our bodies always know better. Like our bodies are attuned to the design.
I guess. Such a good example of what you just mentioned.
Yeah, please.
As well. So when I started my health coaching business, I really wanted to like record online videos and just sell a course online of my work. And obviously that's passive, easier income for me. And so I would literally try and sit down and record myself speaking about a topic, and I sit down every evening and try and do it. And again, I couldn't do it. I was trying for months. And then when I learned about my open throat center, for example, I mean, it means I have inconsistent access to energy there, and it's open, it's hollow. I need to be activated. I need people in front of me to light me up there, and my gifts there too. Because I have one gift there, which is through storytelling. Nice. So, and speaking intuitively and in flow. And I learned that I needed people in front of me. And so I'm so glad that I found out that I needed to change my strategy. I need people in front of me. So I just maybe workshops, or maybe recording myself whilst I'm delivering in front of people, or collaborating or whatever it is, sitting down, recording myself. And I saw other people do it and they're doing really well, and I'm trying to be like them. I'm not designed in that way, and that's fine. There's better ways for me. And that's just an example of like, you're like trying so hard to like do something. Like, no, I'm going, and I'm also a very ambitious person, you know? So I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. And I have gate 60, I think it's 60, which is like, it's just like this persistence, like no matter what gets in my way now, I'm gonna like do it. And I would try and try and try. And then just having this realization, oh, there's a better way. and I thrive in my workshops, and I'm so lit up and activated when I'm with people and I'm with clients who are in front of people. So that's just, yeah, that's an example of just like learning about your design. You kind of stop wasting time beating up the wrong trees.
True. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, when you think about it as a big picture, like everything in nature is designed, right? Like everything has a pattern behind it. And then, yeah, why not us, like as humans, part of nature? Like, we definitely have a design. And yeah, I feel like this tool is a great way to be able to discover that and then to be able to tap into your design. And what I want to talk about a little bit now, because so we made this introduction and how human design can help you, but then like maybe some people are like, okay, but human design is so complex. How can I introduce myself into the system of like, what's my in? What's the door to it? So how would you say, like, someone that has no awareness yet of human design, what's the first steps they can take, or how to what to focus on?
It's a very very in-depth topic, obviously, but also the language is very heavy and hard. I mean, like the original traditional language. But yeah, I would say you start with your energy type. And there's 5 energy types. And if you don't know your energy type but want to find out, you can check on my website. I don't know if you want to leave it below.
I'll put the links in the show notes.
So there'll be a link below, and you can there's like a, on my homepage of my website, you can type in your birth information. You need to know your birth time, date, and location. And then it will tell you your energy type, for example. So you definitely want to start with that. And there's 5 types. So I'll just go through them briefly now.
Just a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll start with generator, because that's what I am. I'm a generator.
Me too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm a generator.
Generators here.
We're juicy. So generators make up roughly like 37% of the population. They're like the biggest kind of chunk of the population. And we're the doers, the creators, the builders. When we're doing things that we enjoy and that light us up, we are generating energy, not just for ourselves, but for everyone around us. And we're the ones that like see things through to completion. We're like going. We're going to get to the end of it. We're like, you know, but it has to like light you up. That's like the caveat. If you are focusing on trying to do something based on a should, like for the money, for my friend, to be a good person, whatever it is, that's when energy drains, and then everyone else also will be impacted by that. So it's so important that generators are doing what they love. Number one thing, because like everyone else is affected by it. And also it gives you the endurance. Like, we have so much endurance when we're doing what we love. We can just keep going and going and going and achieve so much without it tiring us out. So that's beautiful. Obviously, like, you can over activate like centers in the body, which might be a topic for another day. It's like another layering.
Another episode.
Yes, it's another layer in. So obviously you can come burn out. But yeah, the main thing about generators is doing what you love. The strategy for a generator, should I go into strategy? Actually, I'm going to do strategies after. Sorry, guys. Okay. Changing my flow. That's generators. Then we have the manifestors, and they make up roughly about 9% of the population. So a bit more rare. and they're very powerful and impactful people. They're movement creators. Like, they drive things forwards, initiators. The analogy I give for them is they're the train drivers. They're driving a train and you're either like with them on their train to the destination that they're going to, or you're not. And it's like, they're going that way regardless of what you say. Mm-hmm. They have their path and their direction. They're very independent, very autonomous. So it's very important if you're in a relationship with one, for example, that you give them, like you let them be independent, you give them their space. It's so, so important for them. Just be compassionate about that. And then again, even in business, like if you're working with a manifestor, they are very independent. They might, I mean, this is a bit of a shadow side to them. They might just make decisions without you or like forget to inform you of their decisions. So it'll be helpful to remind them, like, just make sure you include me in all your decisions. Just, you know, remind them. But they're very powerful. They see the way forward. And they actually have urges as well, like intuitive urges, or like just like I go do this, like I need to go here, I need to eat this, I need to go to this place. And maybe it's like I need to go to the park. And then when they're in the park, they have this very magical encounter with, like, it's like so divine, you know, and it's like they have these urges to do things. So that's something about them too. Yeah, that's the manifestors. And then we have the MGs, I call them. So they're the manifesting generators, which is a hybrid between the two. And they make up about 33% of the population. So they have, well, they're multi-passionate beings. They have like multiple hobbies, multiple skills, multiple projects going on, have their fingers in so many different pies, like so active. They're very efficient, very good at multitasking. So yeah, in work, it's like amazing. Like they thrive off giving them lots of different things, but they also got the generator inside of them. So all those different things need to light them up. They need to enjoy all of them. So, so important. So that same thing applies of like, if they're not being energized and lit up and enjoy what they do, it's going to impact everyone else around them. So yeah, check in with your MGs that they're good and they're happy and they love what they're doing.
yeah.
And don't, yeah, it's hard. It can be very, very hard for MGs. I see this a lot, is that they get very upset that they find it hard to finish things. They find it very hard to finish things. They start so many different things, they find it hard to finish, and they just get frustrated because they're looking at everyone else and they're completing things, or they're embarrassed because they told everyone, I'm going to write a book. Then they started this YouTube channel, but then they started this blog post, but then they started this, and that's what they're like. They're just so jumpy. But that is okay. You just follow your authority, which I don't know if we'll get into today. We'll see. But your authority is basically your decision center, which guides you, how you make decisions. So you just follow your guidance. If you feel drawn to move on to the next thing, you do that. Don't worry that you haven't finished writing your book. Don't worry that you haven't finished a project that you've been working on. You have gained something from the process that you've already done for that, in the like some wisdom you've gained, or maybe some karma you've come into contact with, some challenges you've had to overcome. And when you feel like it's time to move into a new hobby or a new project or a new thing, you follow that and don't compare yourself or judge yourself, or, you know, don't worry about any of that. You follow your inner guidance. That's what you follow. So that's the MGs, and they're amazing. They can just do so much.
Nice.
Especially in business, you'll see that they won't offer like one thing. MGs offer it all. So yeah, they're really cool. And then we have projectors, which make up about 20%. About 20% of the population. And they're the wise guides. So they see things from a higher perspective or a different perspective, this deep wisdom. They see things in a way that we don't see things. And the analogy I give for them is they're like a bird on a tree in a forest, and all the rest of us are down there hunting and gathering and being warriors and finding food and all the things. And they are up there on the tree, and they can see the quickest, most efficient route to the food or to safety or for whatever it is. They have less like energy centers activated. Well, they don't have their sacral center defined, so they typically have less energy than like the MGs in the generator. but they still can't. Yeah, there's like some people get confused about this because you can have an energetic projector, of course. It's just they don't have this consistent access to life force energy from their sacral. Mm. So they can do a job that they absolutely love. But if they did that like all day, like, you know, really, really all day, it doesn't charge them up like it does for us. Like when for generators and MGs, it's like putting a plug in a socket and we're getting charged when we're doing what we love. They don't have that. They don't get charged, but they can get charged by us because their sacral is undefined, which means it's hollow and it's open and they're absorbing energy from the outside world. So if they are around generators and MGs, they'll have more energy. So
we make a good team with
good projectors. Team. Yeah. Good team because the projectors will see, you know, will guide things. They see things from a higher perspective. They'll, you know, guide things through. And then the generators like has the endurance if they enjoy it to carry it out, to do the whole thing. So it's good for projectors to also be around generators, you know, when they're working and stuff, you know, working in those sorts of places, but being mindful not for too long, because it's like having caffeine. So let's say like if you're with a generator so much, you're like having all this caffeine, and then the projector goes home, they have a caffeine crash. they don't have the access to the generator energy anymore, and they're not actually designed to hold that much energy all the time because they don't need to.
Where's my power battery?
Yeah, so they just need to rest. So projectors are actually only designed to work like in terms of delivery like 3 to 4 hours a day, and then they rest, and their work is so potent and impactful that they can achieve just as much by working less.
Projectors, the new 4-hour work week is for you.
100%. Like they're the most that get burnt out because they're really like they're trying to live in a generator world, like hustling, bustling, 9 to 5 in the office all day, constantly going, and they are not designed to be like that. They're designed to drop their wisdom, show something they've seen from a higher perspective, and then leave, kind of thing, or like to keep developing their skills. So when they're not working, as in like delivering, maybe they're doing self-discovery, maybe they're planning, maybe they're organizing, maybe they're learning a new skill or honing in on a skill that they already have. So yeah, just in terms of like work delivery, projectors don't try to keep up with everyone else. Don't worry, like your work is more potent, so it will be just as, I guess, productive and efficient working less. You achieve just as much as the generators that are working all day.
Yeah, that's pretty life changing.
Yes,
especially in this society where we are faced a lot with this thoughts of feeling not good enough or comparing to others. And like you said, like you always compare to the majority around you, so then it's so important, I feel like, to know, oh, like what's my unique blueprint, and then release that tendency to be like, well, I need to work like someone else, I need to be like someone else, I need to do like someone else, or not design like someone else.
Especially in business, like we're all comparing ourselves. He shows up every single day on Instagram live or whatever it is. Like, I don't have the energy to do that or whatever it is. Like, we're always comparing ourselves. Like, he does this strategy and he speaks like this way and uses, you know, whatever it is. But we're all so different. We all have a different success strategy. Mm-hmm. And when you work in alignment with your personal, unique, individual design, that is when you will become successful, like, undoubtedly.
Yeah, I think this thing with social media, thanks for sharing it, this is a big one because there's a lot of expectation there and a lot of like, society pressure and all of those things. And yeah, I've experienced that myself with social media. I felt a lot of this pressure of, oh, I need to be active, I need to post. And then, I would like tuning into my human design and looking at, well, what's my type, my authority, and then looking at my specific gates in my throat chakra, and then I saw like, oh, actually I'm more to go with my flow and spontaneity and just like bursts of creativity, and then do everything in one burst of creativity, and then not having to like, oh, if I didn't post something today or this week, I feel bad about it. And that completely changed my relationship with it. Or it used to be like, oh, it's like I have to do it. And now it's like something that like, yeah, when I feel the creative flow, it's like, wow, yeah, it's so interesting.
And I'm sure I'm sure the quality would have improved so much more and the engagement, because you can post every single day, but if you're not posting from a high vibe place, the audience are going to receive that like on a subconscious level. They're going to like not feel, they're not going to be drawn to you, right? And also that just the quality will be so much better if you're doing it from a high vibe place, and not because you're forcing yourself, you have to because everyone else is doing it, but no, you just let this divine inspiration come in and then you posted, and you probably have a lot more success with that.
Thanks for sharing that. Shall we go into the last one?
The last one, yes. reflectors. This is a bit shorter because it's a bit shorter. So reflectors make up there's not a lot of use. But I have met a couple. They're very interesting. So yeah, reflectors make up about 1% of the population. They are so rare. And they have a very, very important job here as well. They have no defined centers in their body, graph. So that means they have no consistent energy in any of their centers. They're completely open. So they're always receiving from the outside world. They are reflecting back to society, I guess, where society are at. It can be quite triggering because they're mirrors for us. They can make us be introspective and go inwards and see things. And yeah, that's their job here, is to reflect back how we are doing as a group. So let's say like in work, for example, they'll reflect back how the team is doing or how the business is doing. They'll reflect that back in a relationship. They'll reflect back to the other person. So it can be triggering. But it's a very important purpose here to keep us accountable, to keep us looking at inwards. That is the reflectors.
Nice. Well, yeah, thanks for sharing that. And I guess like each of these types, they have like their way of working in alignment, and we touched a little bit onto some of them, and then they're kind of like when they're not in alignment, and then how do people can see like, when I'm not following my design, what's the universal kind of like sign that I'm a little bit
unaligned. We have signals. Each type has a signal. So for generators, if we are living in alignment and everything and what we're doing on a day-to-day basis is in alignment, we will feel satisfied. That's our main indicator of like, yes, this is for you, satisfaction. You'll go to bed at the end of the day like, I feel satisfied with everything I accomplished today, or you had a meal and that meal was so satisfying, or you went and saw your friend and it was such a satisfying encounter, you know. So that's like satisfaction. When something is out of alignment, generators will feel frustration. That's the indicator. So again, when whatever you're doing, if you're in business or whatever you're doing, and it just means it's time to take a step back and reevaluate what you're doing. It might not be what you're doing. It might be how you're doing it or who you're doing it with. So it's time to raise questions. It's time to reflect. It's time to step back. Something isn't in alignment here. I'm going to step back now. So I mean, it's just important to be in tune with these feelings, and you'll feel them naturally because it's not a choice. Like you'll feel them, but when you're aware of them, you're like, ah, okay. It means like stop pushing through. Like me, as you know, with my 68, I keep pushing it. If something doesn't work for me, I find it hard. I just keep pushing. I'm very resilient. But if I'm feeling frustrated, that's an indication not to keep pushing. So, frustration. And then for manifestors, if you're in alignment, it will be a sense of peace. Peaceful. And they'll crave that peaceful feeling. So that's to know if you're in alignment. And then if you're slipping out of alignment, it will be anger. When you feel anger, when your blood starts to boil or you get a bit angry. I see, you know, some women struggle with this who are manifestors, because I think we've been taught to suppress our anger because it's not feminine or ladylike, or it's not socially acceptable for a woman to get angry. So this is really important to like undo that conditioning. Yeah, a massive part of human design. Side note, massive part of human design is deconditioning. So yeah, for if you're a manifester and you're, I mean, men too, but especially women, if you struggle to express aggression or aggression right now doesn't resonate with you, you might subconsciously be suppressing it. It's your indicator. You need that. That's like, you know, when you burn yourself and then it hurts, like we need that. We need to get hurt when we burn ourselves to know that it's not good for us. So the same, like you shouldn't try to suppress any aggression based on what society views aggression like. I mean, it doesn't mean like go and punch a wall, but just let the anger arise and feel it. Allow yourself to feel it and maybe find some sort of outlet, maybe running, exercise, screaming, I don't know. But yeah, don't suppress it. And then for the MGs, they're like that hybrid. So they'll experience satisfaction and peace and then like frustration or anger. So like they've got that hybrid. And then for projectors, if they're in alignment, they'll feel success. They'll feel successful. That's their thing. And if they're slipping out of alignment, it'll be bitterness, like a bad taste in your mouth. And they get this a lot when they try to initiate, which we'll get into next with the strategy maybe. But they're designed to be invited because their wisdom is, when sometimes we're not all ready to hear what they have to say because it's kind of like a deeper like level of perspective. So it's just they need to make sure that their wisdom and their guidance and what they see is welcomed to being heard. And if they just say he's not good for you or that's a bad idea, don't do that, this is a better way, without like the invitation to say that, then they can end up feeling bitter. So I wonder if that resonates with any projectors listening.
Yeah, I wonder too.
The last one is reflectors. So if they're living in alignment, something's in alignment for them, they'll feel pleasantly surprised. And if they're slipping out of alignment, they'll feel disappointed.
I see. Okay. And I guess this like goes, so we all have that, like you mentioned the strategy. So everyone has this another thing in your profile. I mean, I guess, they're called the big three in human design, like same as we have the big three in astrology, we have the big three in human design with the type, the authority and
the profile as well. The profile is also in the big three, but I would replace the profile with the strategy in the big three for me in my practice.
I think so too. I mean, in my own personal journey, I feel like knowing big three and knowing like how to respond and where to look for that response.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like, it was a big
So like knowing how to make decisions, knowing how to approach situations and knowing, you know, when you're in or out of alignment. When you have that, like that is like the rest just like follows suit. Like, and if you try to, you know, step into like the highest, potential in your gates, which are your talents, without the strategy and authority and everything else, it's not going to go so far. If I just tried, you know, if I was like, okay, I'm going to be really good at storytelling, I'm going to, you know, step into this power of mine, I'm going to really be good at storytelling, but I'm using the wrong strategy and I'm using it in the wrong places at the wrong time with the wrong people with the wrong content, it's not going to go far. So that's why those three things, like you said, is the basics. When you know how and when, and it's like it's the inner GPS. This is why I say it's the inner GPS system. It guides you. It really guides you. So then you don't need to worry because you'll naturally tap into your talents when you're doing that.
Thanks for sharing that. Also, you mentioned about the term deconditioning, which I feel like, it's a very big part of human design. It's also, maybe not a lot of people are aware of what deconditioning means.
Yeah. So
just to go like a little bit into it, maybe what does it mean and how to kind of like start the process of deconditioning?
Yeah. So
the general.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's very deep. We can go deep. Very deep into it, but kind of like a surface level invitation for people that don't know what that is.
Yeah. So we are all conditioned from like the moment we're born. We're conditioned from our parents, our school, society. And we take in the beliefs and the attitudes. And we're all different. Like I say, we all have different ways of approaching things and going out there. So if we're trying to live in a generator world and we're a projector, we're going to get burnt out. If we're trying to run a business like a manifestor, but we're a generator, we're going to hit a lot of resistance, for example, because we're using the wrong strategy. So it's about coming back to yourself and learning to discover yourself and your unique abilities and strategy and let go of everything else, basically. And it's hard. It's hard. I had to let go of what I struggled with communicating was trying to speak logically and factually, because I guess I was conditioned, if you don't have the logic and the facts behind what you're saying, then it's not worth much, you know? So I was so scared to speak intuitively. And that's my gate. I have gate 56, and it's like speaking intuitively and in flow. And I would never do that. I was way too scared. So I had to decondition that belief of people are going to judge me or not take me seriously if I speak in that way. And actually, I struggled so much when I tried to speak logically. And, you know, in the health coaching business, like, do this for your health. And these are the facts why. That didn't go so well compared to just speaking, just not even thinking about anything and just showing up and sharing my stories and sharing the stories of others and just speaking intuitively and in flow and not planning it too much. And just people resonated like never before. And that's when everything really kicked off. Like, big change in my business was my communication. And that was the one big thing that also I had to decondition of how to communicate. And then, like I said earlier, like, I guess I was conditioned in business. Like, this is the way to make money online. This is the way.
Mm.
No, I had to decondition that. No, there's a unique way for me that I can do.
Yeah, for me, I feel like, since I started with the Gene Keys before the human design, I started with, looking at my human design gates, kind of then, and looking at the Gene Keys to see what the shadow frequency is, and then how can I move into the gift frequency. So yeah, personally, but I resonate a lot with like what you were saying, and I could see like a lot of those huge patterns when I look at the just the gate, for example. Like some of the gates, like my big ones, like 19, for example, and 24, and yeah, it's like codependency and addiction, big parts of my conditioning, like pulling me in different directions in life. And then yeah, realizing, okay, like how do I move out of that frequency and then into the higher frequencies. And then sure, like I feel like you were saying that the type and authority and strategy being kind of like always your guiding compass, that like everything you do to like kind of follow that, because sure, there's so many ways to approach even deconditioning, even like moving out of some I don't know, like self-sabotage or different patterns that hold us down.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, everyone like to keep that kind of like pocket thing of like, okay, what is my...
If it just feels so good to be in control and empowered. Mm. And I'll just give another quick example.
Yeah, please.
When I've been running in-person workshops for months now, and I recently started doing online workshops, and everyone around me basically told me, this is a new thing to try the online way, like make it free just so you've opened your doors, like just to get as many people in, like this is the first time, you know. And I just, my gut said no, which is my authority. And I just felt that, you know, I do free events in Bali, but that's when it's in a location. And when it's in a location, people, you know, they put it in their diary, they're going to that location, they're less likely to bail out on it. But when something's online, I'm like, when I sign up for free events online, I don't show up to half of them because it's just so easy not to. It's just like, oh, it's online, you know, oh, it's going to be recorded later, like, oh, you know. So I wanted to charge.
Yeah, with the recording later.
So I wanted to charge a fee, and everyone told me, no, just leave it open. And I felt on my gut. I asked my gut as well, because you ask the gut, if this is your authority, you ask your gut a yes or no question. And I said, should I make it free? And I got this constriction, like, no. And then I asked it, should I charge just a small fee just for to make sure that they show up, basically. That was like £5, like, you know, just so that it's like commitment, that's the word, commitment to show up. And I had on my first workshop, 8 people paid and showed up, and it was perfect. That was a perfect number. It was perfect. It was all divine. And I'm just so glad, you know, I listened to myself, because in the past, I would have listened to other people. They're more experienced than me. They've been in the game longer. That, you know, and if they say that, and this is, I would follow their advice. And like, it's just so empowering to be so confident in yourself and just to follow your own guidance.
Yeah. I love that. And also thank you for the for the inspiration with the workshop too.
yeah,
that's it's very, very interesting. Also, like, I like how you mentioned that sometimes, like, yeah, when we ask these questions, like, we get these answers, like, based on how our body feels. But sometimes, like, and I met people that, I know, they live in this very self-limiting narratives. And a lot of the times they feel contractions. And even when you think about, like, this astrology transits, like whenever we go into a period or a season of life, like, it affects us differently. Like, some people can just flow with it, some people feel very contracted. Depending on what your energetic is, what the lessons is behind there. So I want to ask you, like, personally, for you, maybe how do you navigate when you find yourself in a kind of like in a situation where, to say, it's not the most pleasant, or you find yourself in a blockage or somehow in a contraction? How do you use your tools or your body or human design to kind of like shift out of there?
This is like what I love about it as well, is like, because if you were in your head, you could be in your head for months about something. Let's say you're stuck in a rut about something, and you're going over in your head, and then you're listening to all different people, and then you're asking all your friends, and you're asking all these people, and you're looking online, and that's like not what to do, basically. So what I do is, my gut is my authority. That's what guides me, and it's so simple. All I have to do is ask a yes no question. It's not going to give me an answer, like an answer like do this business adventure kind of thing. It will just reply a yes or no. So I have to give it the options. So if something doesn't feel good, if I'm feeling frustration as well, that's like the indicator.
That's the first indicator when someone's like, when you don't know what's going on, you look at the first indicator and you see, okay, am I actually living in my not self?
Yes, not self. So for me, it'll be frustration and being drained as a generator. So if it's draining me or I'm frustrated, that's like indicator number one.
Yeah.
It's not aligned. Okay, something's not aligned. Then we need to find out what's not aligned, because it might not be the thing. It might be how you're doing it, or who you're doing it, or where you're doing it. So that's when you start asking the questions. For me, it would be to my gut, but there's 7 different authorities. So you guys will find out if you have a look. If you don't know already, you'll have a look and you'll find out what yours is.
So just look at where it writes authority in your profile.
Yeah.
And that's, if you need guidance, you come to Fiona. She'll help you.
So then I ask my gut, and sometimes you'll keep getting no's, and it just means you haven't found the answer. So sometimes silence, also this is important to know, if you have a sacral authority, sometimes a silence also means a no. So a no is either like an ick, constraint, like your body constricts and it's like you feel a bit sick, like ick. Or it could also be silence. So until you get, if you've got the sacral, this like energy creation from the stomach, sit up in your chair, physical yes, like that, then it's not a yes until you have that experience. The other thing I would say is, let's say you're really stuck and there's nothing, let's say you're a generator and there's nothing you feel satisfied about right now, everything's frustrating, everything's draining, there's nothing right now in your life that you can identify as satisfying, then you would need to start removing small things that are draining you bit by bit, very small things, you know, bit by bit, and that creates space. And when we create space, the universe has space to deliver something new. That's like a massive piece of advice I would give to the MGs and generator as well, like just to pull out and make space for the new to come into. That would be like step number 3.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's also, for a lot of the times we have this, and a lot of the people have this clinging to, I don't know, to something, to what feels comfortable. Mm. And even, in day-to-day life, I feel a lot of the times we're calling in, like what we call manifestation, we're calling in things in our lives. Like you said, our lives is so cluttered with so many other things. So then I feel it's so refreshing and so liberating sometimes to just like, okay, make inventory of your life and see like, what am I holding on to? That's kind of outdated or past their expiration date, and then make space for the new, because otherwise our closet is it's so full.
And it's so simple. It's hard, like you know you have to get into it obviously, and it takes time, but it's so simple. It's so much easier to ask your gut than to ask all your friends and then to, you know, have all this thing. I mean, if that's like your authority.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. I mean, that's a lot of information. I hope everyone, like, they you guys felt an invitation to check your human design, even if you don't go too deep into it. Just those three things that we touched on today, it's gonna change your life. Yes. Like, it changed Fiona's life, it changed my life, change everyone's that I know life that actually started to implement those. And it's so easy, and it's so literally just those three things, the base things. And then sure, after you've done those, you can go as deep as you want, as deep as you're feeling into the system. But yeah, I feel like those three, it's like the divine recipe.
Yes, it's perfect. And if you're looking to know more, so I offer an HD analysis reading, which is 1 hour reading where we look into like the basics of your chart and like where, like, if you're in alignment or not, and where things are balanced and your centers, if you're where you're balanced or not, and how you're approaching things and all that stuff. And then I also offer a coaching container, which is 5 weeks long. And that's where we go into your entire chart and we look into everything, and we look into your limiting beliefs and your anything that's holding you back, and looking into your talents and how to step into the highest version of your talents. And the whole shebang is in there. And then the very final thing is I will soon be releasing a leadership training program for any coaches, mentors, business owners, anyone that like runs a team or has clients, so that they know as a leader how to step into your highest potential as a leader, and what to use and how to use your energy in that way to make the best results, but then also how to nourish your team and support your team so that they can deliver to their best ability, and then everyone's a winner. They're my three things at the moment.
But we'll probably touch in another episode. And I like you mentioned about the leadership program. What I find very interesting as well, like when it comes to human design and also astrology, is not only knowing how you function, but like being aware of how people around you function. Yeah. That's a whole different story, because it's like, yeah, sure, I know how I function, but then relating to people, being in a relationship, being in your own business or at work with people around you, your family. It's
We should do an episode on relationships, because I have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, let's
and it's really helpful. It's so helpful.
Part two, people. It's going to be about relationships.
Yeah, and I don't really do too much. Like, in terms of my work, I have done couples reading, but it's not like a primary. It's not my focus, but like if people come to me and ask me, I do it. But like it's not my primary focus. But like, I've been learning so much on my own journey in my relationship with it, and also my friends' relationships, looking at them, and their relationships are a mirror to me as well, you know? So, I've learned so much, and it's so beneficial.
Yeah. I mean, like, you have more human design experience. I'm more like from astrology background, but like, I feel both of these systems, they allow us to show up in community and with people in a whole different way. And it allows to kind of like, understand why people do certain things and hold space for them. And especially when you're coaching people too, like, oh my God, like I feel it's life changing to really know how that person is designed. Cause you might be able to, you might say things or guide them to some things that are like, are coming out of, I always feel knowing how the person functions is
knowing,
super important.
And having so much compassion, because they will be different. They might have a different way of processing information or making decisions, and it might take them longer and all these things. And you have compassion for them.
Compassion, it's an interesting
and that's changed the game for me in my relationship. I'm like, oh, he does that because that's how he's designed. And like, you know, and like I can be patient. Like I used to expect him to make decisions when I make decisions. Like I make decisions very quickly. And he's like, no, I need to sleep on it. And that used to frustrate me so much. And I'm like, okay, no, he needs to sleep on it. That's his thing. He needs to sleep on it.
Exactly. And in this society, we're kind of like, there's the tendency to fit everyone in a box. Mm-hmm. And then when you work with people and you look at different charts, not only your own, but like, I don't know, like I see so many charts and every chart is different. And it kind of gives you this feeling of realizing that, wow, like we are all unique in a way. So then it is about understanding and feeling compassion and allowing everyone to be their own unique expression. Like why dim someone's light when like we all came here in and specific configuration.
And you can support them. You can support them in, for example, making decisions. Like my gut answers to close questions. So if you know me and you know that, you know not to ask me where to go or what to do. You ask me, do you want pizza or pasta? Do you want to go here on date night or here on date night? Do you want to... And either you know how to operate.
Dating advice.
Yeah.
Should definitely do an episode of dating advice with human design.
About the different decision centers and the energies and everything. Yes.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, there's so much material over there. And I invite you to dive into it a little bit, see how it feels. And if you want to go deeper, like Fiona is an excellent coach and she can guide you as deep as you want to go. I'll link everything in the show notes. It's been a journey, both in this conversation and also like friendship wise here in Ubud. Before we close this, is there anything on your heart that you want to say? Any closing words?
Okay, well, I always end with...
Or do you want me to ask you a closing question?
Well, I'll leave you with a statement. It's an empowering statement. Yeah, and something that I really, I just hone it. I just tell this to everyone. Like, everyone needs to know this and remember this. Even though they already know it, they need to remember it.
Let's see.
We are all designed to be successful. And we're all designed to achieve our purpose. So I'm just like, leave it with that. Like, we're all designed to be successful.
Mic drop.
Yes.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you in the next episode. Definitely going to do another one together.
Thank you.
I'll leave all the links in the show notes where you can contact Fiona, our socials as well. Much love, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.